Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear stories from Brian Lynn, Phil Dierking, and Susan Shan. Later, Katie Weaver and Dorothy Gundy will have this week's Personal Technology Report. But first, here is Brian Lynn.
Saudi Arabia is lifting its ban on women drivers. The country's leader, King Salman, ordered the change in a decree. State media said the decree ordered the creation of a group of ministers. They are to offer advice on steps for giving women legal permission to drive. The order is expected to be carried out by June 2018, reports said. Saudi Arabia was the only country that refused to issue driver's licenses to women. Those who attempted to drive were detained. As recently as 2014, two Saudi women were detained for more than 2 months for breaking the rule. Women's rights activists have been pushing for the right to drive since the 1990s. Prince Khalid bin Salman is the king's son and the Saudi ambassador to the United States. He told reporters in Washington the decision marks a huge step forward and that society is ready for the change. In Saudi Arabia, women are legally required to get approval from a male guardian for legal decisions. These can include education, employment, marriage, travel, and medical treatment. But the prince said women will not need approval from their guardians to get a driver's license and will be able to drive alone in the car. They will have permission to drive anywhere in the kingdom, including the Islamic holy cities of Mecca and Medina. After the announcement, several Saudi women shared photographs on social media. The images showed them removing car-sharing apps from their mobile phones. Some women published videos already showing them behind the wheel of a car. Saudi Arabia is a close ally of the United States. President Donald Trump praised the Saudi leadership for lifting the ban. Trump said the U.S. government will support Saudi efforts to strengthen its society and economy. This is a positive step toward promoting the rights and opportunities of women in Saudi Arabia, the White House press secretary said. Amnesty International said the king's order is a testament to the bravery of women activists who have been campaigning for years for the change. United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres praised the move in a message on Twitter. "I welcome Saudi Arabia's decision to lift the ban on women drivers, an important step in the right direction." One of Saudi Arabia's most outspoken women's rights activists, Aziza Yosef, called the action a good step forward for women's rights. Yosef, a professor at King Saud University, told the Associated Press that she and other women will continue to push for an end to the remaining male guardianship laws. The decision to lift the ban is part of a larger effort by 32-year-old Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman to propose economic and social reforms. The prince has faced opposition from powerful conservative clergymen with large followings who have criticized the proposals. I'm Brian Lynn.
The Chinese government has ordered a travel ban to Tibet from outside the region from October 18th to the 28th. Radio Free Asia, or RFA, reports, during that time, government officials will be holding meetings in Beijing and Lhasa, Tibet. Officials announced the ban earlier this month. A Tibetan employee at a travel company in Xining, China, confirmed it to RFA's Tibetan service last week. The employee spoke on the condition of anonymity. The employee told RFA that the ban does not only concern foreign travelers, it also affects Tibetans living outside of Tibet. The employee said, during this period, it is not just foreigners, but also Tibetans living in the Amdo region of Qinghai who are not allowed to travel in the Tibet Autonomous Region, or TAR. The employee also told RFA the travel ban will hurt Tibet's economy, as October is a popular month for tourists to visit the region. RFA and VOA are each part of the U.S. government-supported Broadcasting Board of Governors. Agence France-Presse, or AFP, reported that the ban will remain in effect throughout the Chinese Communist Party's 19th National Congress next month in Beijing. The Tibet Tourism Bureau did not make the announcement itself, but the notice of the travel ban went to several local travel agencies earlier this month, AFP reported. A person who recently traveled to Tibet confirmed to RFA that the region will be closed to outside visitors for the 10-day period. The person, who also spoke on the condition of anonymity, told RFA that high-level government meetings are to take place in Lhasa during the period of the ban. The Chinese government already bans travel to Lhasa by foreign visitors and Tibetans living in Western Chinese areas every March. This month is politically sensitive because it is the anniversary of the 1959 Tibetan Rebellion. On March 10, 1959, Tibetans in Lhasa protested Beijing's political and military control of the formerly self-governing region. This started a rebellion in which thousands were killed. In March of 2008, Chinese police suppressed peaceful Tibetan protests in Lhasa. This led to rioting and the destruction of Han Chinese shops in the city and deadly attacks on Han Chinese residents. The riot followed mostly peaceful protests against Chinese rule that spread across Tibet and into Tibetan-populated areas of Western China. During the protests, hundreds of Tibetans were detained, shot, or beaten by Chinese security forces, sources said in earlier reports. I'm Phil Dierking.
The technology industry believes it is a force for good, one that connects the world and helps information flow freely. But the industry is being watched, following reports that people in Russia used technology services to target and influence American public opinion. A big tech conference took place last week in San Francisco. The city is just a short drive from California's Silicon Valley, the home of several major high-tech companies. Many startup businesses sent one or more representatives to the conference, which was called TechCrunch Disrupt. The startups hoped to interest investors and consumers in their products. They did not seem worried about investigations into Silicon Valley companies like Facebook and the way Russia used social media to influence the U.S. elections last year. Still, many high-tech entrepreneurs wonder what they can control and what they cannot in the products they are creating. Lachlan Phillips set up a company called Adrobot. It helps businesses make video advertising and distributes those ads on social media. What technology is allowing is that it's allowing people to have more freedom to create and more freedom to communicate, he noted. A malevolent message might have been quiet in the past, and that can be quite loud now. With so many people questioning the actions of high-tech companies, he says that integrity is important to him and to his business. He wants to avoid distributing information that isn't truthful or agreeable. Amy Chen created 99voices.org, a website that lets people rate politicians and businesses. Chen told VOA she hopes to make her site foolproof, so its ratings can't be manipulated. I don't know if technology can solve this issue, she said. It would be nice if each person gets one person and one say, and that's the platform where you can judge what is public opinion. Dylan Sidhu also attended TechCrunch Disrupt. He operates a company that makes and sells encrypted message space. He believes technology companies should be treated the same as manufacturing companies. I think to a certain extent there should be some policing, but that could be said about any industry, Sidhu said. He believes people can use encrypted message space for good or bad reasons, just as they may use a car for good or bad reasons. It's the aim of the company that is important, he noted. But Facebook has announced plans to bar malevolent advertising. The company is using real people to inspect its automated ads in order to prevent racist or anti-religious speech from reaching users. Last month, it added 3,000 workers to inspect content after violent acts appeared on Facebook Live. The company said it will remove information that violates its rules. I'm Susan Shand.
Switzerland is the world's most competitive economy, the World Economic Forum reported on Wednesday. It said the Swiss economy has been more competitive than the economies of all other countries in each of the past 9 years. In 2008, Switzerland finished in second place after the United States. The WEF, which is based in Geneva, produces a yearly report on economic competitiveness. The ratings are based on over 10 measures of competitiveness and opinions of business leaders. Economist Thierry Geiger works for the group. He says Switzerland had a virtuous circle of infrastructure, institutions, and education. He adds that its success came from its ability to create and use talent. That is really the secret of Switzerland, this ability to innovate, he says, noting that there are many things fueling creativity. However, after almost 10 years at the top of the WEF ratings, Switzerland faces a new risk. Its population is aging, and Geiger fears that voters may decide to restrict the number of foreigners working in the country. Switzerland holds public referendums about 4 times a year. The votes are a part of a tradition of direct democracy. But Geiger describes some of the planned referendums as dangerous. He fears they could threaten Switzerland's economy. The World Economic Forum is perhaps best known for its meeting of powerful people every January in Davos, Switzerland. Klaus Schwab, the founder of the WEF and its chairman, wrote in a statement that he believes that competitiveness will depend on the ability of a country to innovate. The top 10 countries in the latest list are the same as last year, but the order has changed. The United States moved in front of Singapore, rising from 3rd to 2nd place. Hong Kong moved up 3 places to 6th place, passing both Britain and Japan. The WEF says that Britain has not yet felt the effect of its vote to leave the European Union, but will in the future. China was rated as the 27th most competitive economy in the world. Russia was in 38th place, while India was 40th. Yemen, a poor country now in a civil war, was 137th.
Last week, Apple released iOS 11, the update to its mobile operating system for iPhone and iPad. This update has features that may make your current device feel like a new one. iOS 11 is free to download now and is available for iPhone 5S and newer models, iPad Air and newer models, and the newest model of iPod Touch. You may be excited to download iOS 11 right now, but be careful. As predicted, older apps will not work with iOS 11. If you try to open an older app, you will see a warning sign. So, if you have any older apps you need, do not yet update to iOS 11.
iOS 11 has dozens of new helpful features. These are some of the ones you may find most useful. Control Center is a handy hub to help you control your iPhone or iPad with fewer swipes and taps. By swiping up from the bottom of your screen, you can open Control Center to quickly use controls such as volume and brightness without having to hunt through apps. Control Center is even handier in iOS 11. you have more control of what you want to include in Control Center. By going to Settings, then Control Center, then Customize Controls, you can add or delete controls from Control Center. There, you will see all of the items you can put in and take out of Control Center. You can choose from the standard controls, such as camera and calculator, or add some new ones, such as magnifier, Apple TV remote, and alarm. You can also add some of the new features in iOS 11 to Control Center, such as Do Not Disturb While Driving and Screen Recording. Control Center is now all on one page. You can see what music is playing on Control Center without having to swipe to a new page. The volume and brightness controls also have wider slider buttons to make them easier to control.
Apple addresses the issue of distracted driving with one new feature. The Do Not Disturb While Driving control may save lives. This feature blocks notifications. Your screen stays dark with Do Not Disturb While Driving turned on. However, if you have Bluetooth in your car, your phone calls will still ring. You can opt to have an automatic reply message sent to someone who is trying to reach you. You can tell them that you are driving and will get back to them when you arrive, or any other message you want to send in an automatic reply. You can also choose a group of people who will get this message, such as favorites. If people need to reach you in an emergency, they can mark their message as urgent. To turn on Do Not Disturb While Driving, go to Settings, then Do Not Disturb, then Activate. You can choose whether to turn this on manually, automatically, or when connected to your car's Bluetooth.
Screen recording is a feature that lets you record the screen of your iPhone or iPad. When you add screen recording to Control Center, you can swipe up to open Control Center, then tap the button with a solid circle inside another circle. You will see a countdown of 3 seconds. That will give you time to get to the screen you want to record. A red bar will appear at the top of the screen while it is recording. Tap the red bar when you want to end the recording. The video will appear in your Photos app.
Now, when you take a photo of your screen, known as a screenshot, you can edit it right away. After you take a screenshot by pressing the power button and home button at the same time, a thumbnail view of the screenshot will appear in the lower left corner of the screen. Tap on the screenshot thumbnail to edit the image. After you are finished editing, tap Done. You can save and share the image.
iOS 11 gives people better control of their files. iPhones and iPads will seem more like computers with iOS 11. Users can view files and drag and drop them in other places. iOS 11 adds a Files app. By using the Files app, you can see your files in the cloud without having to switch apps. The Files app lets you control files from iCloud and third-party services such as Google Drive and Dropbox.
Another important feature is Emergency SOS. With Emergency SOS, you can press the power button 5 times to call emergency services. You must turn on this feature in Settings if you want the call to be made automatically. With Emergency SOS, you can call emergency services even if you do not know the local emergency number. Trust that the feature works. Do not test it. Police have reported iPhone owners trying out the new feature and blocking emergency lines in the process.
Have you ever been over to a friend's house and wanted to log on to their Wi-Fi network? iOS 11 can get you connected with ease. Just hold your iPhone or iPad close to a device or Mac computer that is signed into Wi-Fi. If that person has you in their contacts list, they will be asked if they want to let you sign into the network. Once they agree, you are in.
Siri is smarter now and can translate English phrases into French, German, Italian, Mandarin, and Spanish. Siri will say the translated phrase so you can learn how it is pronounced. Siri will also show you the written translation. Apple Maps has been improved too. Now the app can show the insides of some malls and airports.
iOS 11 helps guide you in deleting apps you rarely use to make more space on your phone. You can have your iPhone or iPad automatically delete apps you have not used in a while. Go to Settings, then iTunes and App Store, then Offload Unused Apps. If you change your mind, you can download the app again from iTunes if it is still available. Apple is making it easier to type with one hand on a new keyboard layout. Go to Settings, then General, then Keyboard, then One-Handed Keyboard. Choose either off, left, or right. You can use the keyboard by pressing the globe button. The keyboard will be smaller and moved to the left or right. Tap the arrow on the side to return to the full-sized keyboard.
You can now scan documents into the Notes app where you can sign them and send them back. To scan a document, open the Notes app and tap on the plus sign in a note. You will be given a choice of scanning a document. After you have scanned the document, you can sign it in the Notes app, then share it. I'm Katie Weaver.
And I'm Dorothy Gundy.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.